Good morning. If everybody would just come on in and have a seat, we'll get started this morning. It's a beautiful spring morning. Hopefully it's going to stay that way all day today. I'd like to welcome everybody to Jenkins Church. Welcome any new visitors. First-time visitors that we might have today, we're glad that you're with us. If you'll take a moment to register your attendance in the attendance books, I believe that they're in the pews. Does anybody have any announcements this morning? Okay. I have one announcement. The Easter egg hunt is going to be on March the 31st, and that is in your bulletin. But we do need candy for the Easter egg hunt. So if you wouldn't mind bringing in some candy, you can either give it to me or to Deborah Eckerd. And please, no chocolate. If it's a warm, sunny day, the chocolate will melt. We've learned that from experience. But anyway, any other announcements? Roger are now the proud grandparents. Jessica had her baby last week, and his name is Maddox Aaron Bailey. And I think everybody is doing well from what I've heard. Any update on that? Everybody doing good? Okay, good deal. That's exciting. Okay. Well, if there are no other announcements, let's take a moment and pause to prepare our minds and our hearts for worship and for lighting of the candles. Amen. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Okay.
On our prayer list, my friend Neil Scott, he passed away early Friday morning. And his service is this afternoon. Okay. And also I have a dear friend that, matter of fact, she was one of Rex's third grade teachers. And very sick, so I have those.
And if you would write these names also on a pew card, put them in the offering so we can be sure they get in our bulletin. Any other prayer?
Yeah. My daughter Elizabeth is still with me, healing very well from her accident. In the negatives, there's positives too, so it's been special that her sister Katie and maybe Delta came to visit, and God's just blessed the whole time together and people that have surrounded us. So it's just amazing to see God. And Katie and Delta will be traveling back to North Carolina. So they came through the storms on Thursday. I hope they get to travel back safely. So prayers for safe travel. Prayers for continued healing.
Thanks for any other. If not.
Let's pray. Father, we come to you today with the spirit of truth, with the spirit of holiness, coming to your presence. We know that you are here because there are two or three gathered. So Lord, just bless us now as we lift up your name for praise and honor, for glory, for blessings that you have given us, for blessings we have received, for those in the future that we we will receive. Lord, you are so great, so mighty, so wonderful, majestic, holy. There are so many words to describe you, and yet they all fall short. So Lord, as we lift our minds and our hearts to you today, help us forever keep in our hearts that you are the one who loves us the most. You loved us so much that you sent Jesus. And now, Lord, as we lift our hearts to you in prayer, we pray the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
If you'll please stand for our call to worship. The heavens are telling the glory of God.
The word of God is a living promise.
The law of the Lord is perfect.
The word of God is a living promise.
The covenant of God shall last forever.
The word of God is a living promise.
Confession. Awesome God, all around us are examples of your power and majesty, which we lift up to you now. We pray this day for the strength and courage to enter faithfully into your covenant, opening our hearts, our souls, our lives in grateful praise. Thank you for the gift and example of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. If you'll join me for a prayer of confession in silence, please. Our words of assurance. God's promises are true and unbroken. God's grace is sweet and abundant. God's word is perfect and life-giving. Come enter into the joy of God's forgiving love.
Amazing grace shall
every sentence is from Psalms 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. If our ushers would please come forward. If we can get a few ushers. Thank you. Now children's time with Miss Mary Jo. So if all the children would come up.
Decide to put a half a cup instead of a whole cup or whatever.
But there's scripture that God tells us, and it's in the 23rd Psalm. In the latter part of the scripture, it says, His cup runneth over. So, we can't measure it that way because God's cup runs over. Now, I have another measure. I borrowed Jet's tape measure this morning. We were building something. We have to measure it exactly right. How high it is, how wide it is,
or how low it is.
Or how low it is. You are right. But you know that in the 108th Psalm, it says, God's love is higher than the heavens. So can we measure the heavens? No, we can't do that either. Now the next thing I have is a watch, measuring time. This morning, some people might have forgot to measure time and are still sleeping. I don't know. Because we lost an hour last night because of daylight savings time. Can we use a watch to measure how much God loves us in time? In the 103rd Psalm, it tells us God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. So can we measure forever? No, we can't measure with the watch, we can't measure with the cup, and we can't measure with the tape measure. But John 3:16 tells us how we can measure. Love. We can't really, we don't need to. We need to experience it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So, we can't measure how wide it is, how tall it is, how deep it is, how long. Gracie and I have a little saying that I tell Gracie, I love you to the moon and back. And Jed and I say, I love you as wide as the sky. But God loves us in everlasting love. So my prayer for you today is that you will experience how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is in your life. Okay, Ms. Gilmer.
I think we should think better of the men of love.
Okay.
Wish I had a man.
Wish I had a man.
And men are under the men of love. And that's all the word. Well, the Lord is mine, and I am His. His banner over me is love. The Lord is mine, and I am His. His banner over me is love. The Lord is mine, and I am His. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. So, sing with me. Just the same words.
Okay.
Saying sometimes, I'm not the star of this one monkey show, but looks like I was this morning. Kind of reminds me of when I was moderator. I went to this little small church out in the country to preach, and they said, we're going to do an opening song and then the rest is yours. So that meant prayers and song leading and more prayers and preaching and, I don't know, turn the lights on, I guess, if they wanted me to. There's a clock up here. I think Mary Beth Rowland might have put this up here. I don't mind you looking at your watches. Just don't shake them to make sure they're still running. With a guest speaker, you usually know that you're going to get out early. Well, I'm not a guest. But I will keep it as short as I can. Our scriptures today should be in your bulletin, or you can look in your Bibles. Acts 1, 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. God added his blessings to the reading of his word. I just got back from Columbia, not Tennessee, not South Carolina, Columbia, South America. I'd like to show you a few little slides, just let a slideshow run if I figure out how to do it. So, let's, well, I can't because the PowerPoint's ready. But let me just say this. In 2003, God kind of subtly called me to do a work mission trip ministry. And let me tell you, I used every Moses excuse there was for 2 years before I accepted his call. Now, this will all come together in the sermon in a little while, but for 2 years I fought kicking and screaming. No, I can't do this. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't have this. I don't have that. And every time I had a question, God always provided what was needed for this ministry. And so, all that said, let's change directions a little bit. And I want to talk about electricity. Now, way, way out there somewhere in the great beyond is a power plant. And that power plant creates this electricity that we use. Now, where would we be without electricity? Somebody tell me. Well, we'd be a little bit dark this morning. Cell phones. Our car has to have electricity to run. You know that only when the battery goes dead. Do you realize, I don't have any electricity? You know, and we used to joke where I worked that we got big electric motors in sometimes, and somebody would turn it up on its side, and we'd say, turn that back up before the electricity runs out. Well, it doesn't work that way. But so many things. Ladies, what would you look like this morning without your hair dryers and your curling irons and your lights to look in the mirror to make sure you're getting it right? Men, how about power tools? We like our power tools. And even if you have a cordless drill, yes, some ladies do too. I have a friend that goes with me on mission trips, and she has more tools than I do. And one group of teenagers that we worked with in Jackson, Mississippi, called her Rolling Lowe's because she had a trailer that she pulled behind her truck with all kinds of tools. Rolling Lowe's. Lawnmowers, gasoline engines, they need electricity for our cars. Elevators, escalators, automatic doors, iPods, computers, microwaves. I think you get the picture. So we have this power plant that somewhere out there is creating this humongous amount of electricity that we all use. Now, that power comes in to a transformer.
Now, what is a transformer? Well, you see this power that comes in from the power plant. We can't use that. It's too much. It's too powerful. You hear examples all the time of line, electric linemen, people that work for the power company. And they're up on a pole, and that power is so powerful that if it touches, it'll just immediately eat through your arm or burn it up to where you can't use it or kill you. It's just too much power. So we have these transformers, and you've all seen them out on the telephone poles, a round thing. So it transforms that power, and it sends it to our house. Now, it sends it to our house to the fuse box. Now, everybody knows what a fuse box is, right? I hope you do. It's got, used to have those things in it called fuses. That's the reason it's called a fuse box. But now we have circuit breakers. Circuit breakers, remember that. That's going to be very important in a little while. So we have circuit breakers. And if your lights go off, the first thing you do is you try to find the panel. If you've got a flashlight, and if the batteries are up, because the flashlight needs electricity too, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And so what do we have coming from the fuse box? We have toasters. Well, that's not a good example of a toaster. Here's a toaster. Okay? We have toasters. We have microwaves. We have curling irons. We have one of my favorites, Nancy's stove. One of my favorites. That's got to work in my house. Okay? And we have, there's a triangle. We'll make up something. I got one for television. Wait a minute. What else is left? Refrigerator. You know, we've got all these appliances that run, lights. We've got the TV. The idiot box, some people call it. All these things run off of this electricity. And if it goes out, we don't have anything, do we? Maybe some of us have candles scattered around somewhere, and you know, I can't make my toast with a candle. But anyway, you get the picture. Electricity is very, very important to us. Christians need the power of the Holy Spirit to do God's work. If we didn't need it, then Jesus wouldn't have promised it in the scriptures that we read today. Now, I wouldn't even pretend that I know how the Holy Spirit works. But I know that that power is available to me. Now, I'm a science fiction nut. Some of you know that. So, one of the Star Wars movies, it was number 2 or number 5, depending on how you count. They messed up on the count on those things, didn't they? They showed 4, 5, and 6 first, so I guess we'll call it number 5. Luke Skywalker is on the planet, and he finds this diminutive little drone that we know as Yoda. The name of the planet was Dagobah. And Luke's spaceship sinks down in the swamp. Has anybody not seen that movie? The Empire Strikes Back. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But this is such a good illustration. The spaceship sinks down in the swamps of Dagobah. And little Yoda, he's standing over there on the side, and he says, you know, use the force, Luke. Raise the ship up. And so Luke stretches out his hands, and he closes his eyes, and he concentrates, and the ship starts coming up out of the water. Well, then he gets tired or something, gets distracted, I don't know. He quits. Ship sinks back down. And he says, it's impossible. And so Yoda steps up there. You know, he looks like a little prune. And he raises the ship up, and it floats out over, and it comes out on the bank, and it's on dry land. And Luke is there. And Luke says, I don't believe it. And Yoda said, that is why you failed. So if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit today, that's why you can't tap into the power. That is why you failed. We're failing because we won't flip the switch on. I have a friend one time, he says, I don't understand a thing about electricity, but I'm not going to stand around in the dark until I find out everything there is to know about electricity. I'm going to flip that switch on where we can have light. It's not a matter of completely understanding. It's a matter of it's available to us and we can use it. Because we don't understand it, sometimes we don't believe. Let's look at our illustration again. We're going to change directions here. God is the one that's out there with all the power. There's a story way back in the Old Testament about the ark. They were moving the ark from somewhere to Jerusalem. Well, they were going across this creek or river or whatever they wanted to call it. And now remember, you remember from Raiders of the Lost Ark, don't you? That there was a lot of power in the ark. God's power was present in the ark. And God said, don't, and as we say in Tennessee, don't touch it. Don't you dare touch it. So they carried it on long poles, suspended out. Well, they tripped. Somebody tripped in this, and a guy named Uzza, he reached up so the ark wouldn't fall. Killed him, just like that. So God's power, only a few have been come in direct contact with God, and they were changed. Moses' light shone from his face when he came in direct contact. And he didn't even come in contact. He was just kind of in the presence of God. So we can't do that. We can't come in direct contact with God. And so he sent Jesus. Now, we can't come in direct contact with Jesus either, but his disciples did. Now, I've got to get my Bible. And I want you to turn, if you will, should have had this out already, to 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. And you might want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 too. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. Mark over here. Okay. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, workers of miracles, gifts of healing, those able to help. These are gifts of the Spirit. So what Jesus did is Jesus gave us gifts, these gifts to use. And there are many, many more gifts. In Ephesians 4, it talks about leaders having the gifts of teaching, of preaching, of being prophets. These were to help the people, us, learn to teach, the leaders of the people, learn to teach the people how to serve others. So all these gifts are meant. And there's a smiley face. That's me. That's the gift of helps. So we have all these gifts. They come from Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the power to use these gifts. There must be a buffer. There must be something between us and all this power, just like there's a transformer that transforms that electricity to send it to our house so we can use it. God wants us to have this power, and He knows that we can use it, even if we don't understand it. He calls us. He gives us gifts to use. We all have different gifts. Jesus gave those gifts. It says in the Bible that Jesus gave these gifts for us to use, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be able to use them. Now, why do I go to Colombia? Because I'm called to go there. And the Bible says in our scripture for today that you go to the ends of the earth. You go to Jerusalem, Samaria. That means you go from Nolensville to Nashville. You know what? I got to thinking about it this week. We're supposed to go spread God's word to the ends of the earth, and we're afraid to tell our own neighbors. Sometimes our neighbors don't even know if we're Christians or not unless they see us go off to church. Now that's a misuse Well, it's a non-use of the power that God wants us to have. He wants us to have the power. It's available to us to go and tell our neighbors, to go and tell those people in Colombia or Haiti, boy, you want to go to a godless place, you'd go to me with me to Haiti sometimes. And they know you're Christians down there because you wouldn't come if you weren't. You'd be afraid, too afraid to go. Some people are afraid to go to Colombia. I've never been afraid to go there. If God brings you to it, He's going to take you through it. And if He calls you to do something, He's going to give you everything you need, all the tools to everything you need to do what He's called you to do. I know this. He promises it in His Bible. He gives us the Holy Spirit. We can be like Mary in Luke 1, 34 and 35. You can mark that in your brain somewhere. Mary was a young girl. I'm sure she had no idea what was going to happen. But the Holy Spirit can come and overshadow us with the power of the highest. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised. A few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You receive power. Go to the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey." Now I've got one more illustration. I told you about circuit breaker. Every time you flip a light switch, it completes a circuit. Now, the power comes in. You have a black wire, okay? A black wire is the power. Sometimes some people make the white the power, but we won't go there. That's not the way to do it. The black wire is the power. If you try to hook a light up, if you change a light fixture, some of us men have done that, when you get that light fixture, lo and behold, it's got a black wire and a white wire. Now, we won't even talk about the ground, because technically, if you open your fuse box, the white wire and the ground wire are connected together. Okay? Don't ask me how that works. I don't know. I just know that's how you do it. All right? So you got a black wire that comes in. To complete that circuit, you got to turn a light on. You got to start the microwave. You got to turn your oven on. You got to do something to complete that circuit, because that power has got to go back through that white wire. It comes down, it goes back through the white wire, and it completes the circuit. That's the reason you have a circuit breaker. If something's wrong in the circuit, it pops off. You go try to turn it back on, it doesn't come on, you know you got a problem. That's to keep from burning your house down, because that power, if the circuit's not complete, or if there's some kind of something wrong with the thing in the circuit, if you didn't have that circuit breaker, if you hooked it up straight to the power, you might burn your house down. And I know we don't want to do that. Because the power, the Holy Spirit is the same way. That power comes down to us. How are we going to complete the circuit? We have to complete the circuit. We have to make the connection back to God to complete the circuit so we can use the Holy Spirit and the power that is there. How do we do that? How do we do that? First, we've got to have faith. We've got to believe in that power. Just like Luke said, "I don't believe it." You know, that's why you fail, because you don't believe it. First, we've got to believe. Now, that's got to do with trusting Jesus and trusting God to save us. It's got to do with a whole bunch of things. I'm preaching to the choir here. Everybody knows this. But there again, it's just like your next door neighbor. I'm sorry, but we just don't do it. I'm sorry it got quiet. Now, for me, I already believed when God called me to the purpose that He wanted me to do with the rest of my life. You know, when I first retired, I wanted to ski in the winter and play golf in the summer. That was my retirement plan. Boy, did that one go off. I played golf one time last year. Hadn't played yet this year. Hadn't skied in about 3 or 4 years. So, anyway, So we've got to have the faith, but there's something else. Even the demons believe and tremble. So it's not just the faith. James, the second chapter, what does it say? You know, you can have all the faith you want, but if you don't do something, then is your faith really that strong? I don't know. I don't know all the answers to these questions, but I do know that when God calls you to do something, you need to be about doing it. Now, that's a hard thing for us today. We have come so far. I mean, we've got the new iPad. It's not iPad 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. It's not, what is it, 4G. We're going to go up to 7 or 8G before they quit advertising that stuff. We're so smart. We've got it all figured out, haven't we? No, we don't. Because we have to obey somebody. Nancy and I read Plugger in the newspaper. How many of you read Plugger? Well, it's a little funny thing in the comics. You need to read it sometimes. And there's one in there that fits me to a T. Pluggers are yes men. Because my two favorite words at my house are yes, dear. Now, if I could say yes, dear, to my wife, I should be able to say yes to God. I've tried. Sometimes I don't think I do everything that I should. And most of us need to feel that way. We need to feel that there's something else out there, somewhere else to go, something else to do. Faith and obedience completes the circuit of God's power. And we can use that power. Went to Pensacola, Florida. Now, let me just preface this by saying that when I go somewhere, it's usually to build something, to repair something or to fix something. So we go to Pensacola, Florida, after Hurricane Ivan. And how many of you know Frank Barrett from the community? Okay, Frank says, why do you want to go down there and do those roofs? You're not doing any good. See, we're also people that have to measure things. We have to measure our success. We have to see that we've completed a goal or that we've done something good. And so here I go and I tell, you know, we're talking about going to Florida and helping with the hurricane damage. And Frank says, what good did you do down there? And I said, Frank, you know what? There's 49,000 roofs damaged in Pensacola alone after Hurricane Ivan. And we probably fixed or repaired about 30. Doesn't seem like much, does it? But I tell you what you do. You go ask the people that we worked for because it meant the world to them. Because some of them were at the end of their rope. We had one lady to tell us that she was ready to tie a brick old block around her foot and throw herself off in her swimming pool. Because nobody had come to help. And another fellow and I were over there to look at her, what she needed to get done. And we told her we'd be back tomorrow. And she says, yeah, right. I've been told that before. In 4 days, we put her a new roof on. Some of the decking was gone. We put her a new roof on and rewired her total house in 4 days. And I guarantee you can ask that woman, and she can say that God worked through us. We were working on another house. This is the real story I wanted to tell you. We were working on another house, and it was on Tuesday morning, and we were about 75% finished with the roof. I'm stepping out on the limb here, folks. I'm telling y'all something that I've done, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It was the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Okay? The drywall people are coming the next day to start hanging the drywall. Now, if you don't have a roof on a house, you can't have drywall because you're going to ruin the drywall. You start all over. Will it come a flood? I'm talking about a Noah flood, the darkest cloud I've ever seen. And so we came down off the roof. It was about, I guess it was about 11 o'clock. So we said, let's go in the garage and pray and have an early lunch. And then maybe it'll quit raining sometime this afternoon that we can finish the roof. We could see no end to that dark cloud. So we got in a circle and we prayed. And so, something like this, Lord, now you know we got to fix this roof. Lord, you already know that. I'm not telling God anything he doesn't know. So if you could stop the rain, we'd appreciate it. So we can get this job done. Because another job's got to start tomorrow. John Rippey might have been on that trip. I don't know. Well, I got a friend from Kingston, Tennessee, and he looked at his watch. Now, I'm not brave enough to put the clock on God. I can't do that. But Sam Wilson looked at his watch. 3 minutes it stopped raining. 30 minutes the sun was out. That was the Holy Spirit. That power was available to us. But we had to complete a circuit. We had to ask. And we knew not to say, you know, Lord, do this for me. Do this for this job we're working on. It wasn't anything for me. I don't claim any kind of a credit for whatever happened that day. But I know this. We completed the circuit. We connected to the power. And God used that power to stop the rain. I'm sure there are other things in your life that maybe the same kind of thing has happened. But we just need to remember. The power is available. The jobs are there for us to do. Each and every one of us has something to do that God has called us to do. He's provided us with everything that we need, and he's telling us what to do. He's telling us where we need to go and what we need to do. We have to obey. We have to be faithful and obedient to complete that circuit. And it's unlimited. Greater things, Jesus said, greater things you will do than what you've seen me do. We can do greater things. We can. If we have faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. Live long and prosper, and may your spirit prosper. And may the force of God's Holy Spirit be with you. Let's stand and turn in our hymns. Ask the musicians to come. There may be something that you need to tell God today. This altar's open. You can come down here and pray. You can be obedient. But we have to make those choices. We have to do that. As we sing.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me. Mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for the movement of your Holy Spirit among us. Help us to use that power to go out and be witnesses for you, to be obedient, faithful and obedient to your word and to your commands. Go with us now until we meet again, and bless us and keep us this day from all evil and broaden our territories. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.